Okay, thank you. Then I'm going to go ahead and call roll. Jim Damon?
Jim Damon here.
Thank you. Heather Gray? Heather Gray, are you with us? I don't hear Heather. Donna Grimes? Julie Hewitt. Huh. James McFadden.
Here.
Thank you, James. Marking this as I go. Stephanie Wells. Stephanie? No, here's Stephanie. Uh-huh. Susan Young?
Here.
Thank you, Susan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Alex Steinberg?
I'm here, but I'm not a, you can't count me toward a quorum.
Right, right. I'm just trying to get a whole head count of who's with us tonight. Chris Corey? And Lyndon Foley.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Lyndon. And I heard Fred at the control panel. Is there anyone else with us who wants to be counted?
Bruce Grieve from New York, but I don't know what that means, be counted.
Okay. I don't know how other people have gotten on this call. This call was supposed to be for National Strategic Planning Committee members.
You want me to hang up? I'm happy to hang up.
We will be posting the audio. We will be posting the I know that this is going to be, there's going to be trouble over this. That the website got hacked. I didn't post those numbers to that website. Someone else did, and I've taken screenshots to show the artifacts, and I'll take it up with Otis. And if I let some people stay, others are going to, I'm going to catch hell from others for not letting them in too. But we are recording it, and we will be posting it afterwards to KPFTX. So everything we do will be there, and it's not like we'll be deciding anything tonight. We'll be discussing options for the rest of the year.
Beth, so you want me to hang up? I'm happy to do that. You want me to hang up?
I think at the moment it would probably – I'm not so much worried about you, Bruce, but if I –
No. I'm just saying make life easier. I'm going to hang up. I'm hanging up. Goodbye.
Right, yeah. And I'd be happy to talk with you afterwards, and you'll see the posting. Thank you, Bruce.
Beth, this is James.
Yes?
I don't think you called my name. I know you know I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'd already marked you down as present, but you should say it out loud. So, hi, James. You're here?
Okay.
Yeah?
I'm here.
So we now
I'm going to try and call a couple of those other members who aren't here.
Thank you. We have five members present from a committee of what I thought was 10, but I guess is officially supposed to be 11. Julie won't be coming. I know from Paulina that she won't be able to be here either. I'm surprised that we haven't heard from Stephanie and Julie, actually, because we met with them earlier this afternoon and thought they'd be here. And I think someone must have their line open because I'm getting odd echoes on my line. If we can get one more member present, then we can proceed. I didn't separate out as a separate item review of last year's work, what was finished and what wasn't. We can fold that into the discussion of the scope of this year's activity.
Beth, if you're going to do that, you know, I wrote up a whole summary of that that I presented at the inaugural meeting of your national board.
Yes. I don't have that in front of me now, but would you like to send it out to this committee again?
If you send it to me. You, and I don't have a list of who's on this committee. Let's see if I can find it.
Okay. If you send it to me, I'll see to it that the rest of the committee gets it, and it'll make good grist for the mill between now and the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, are all we still on? This is Susan.
Yes, we are. We are. We're just waiting for one more
see,
member.
See
we'll,
somebody else.
We'll,
okay.
Heather Gray is on her way.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Good to know. James, you and I talked earlier, not that long ago, this afternoon with both Stephanie and Julie Hewitt, and I didn't have any reason then to think they wouldn't be here, but they're not.
Quick question. I think Michael yes? Novick is also. I think Michael Novick is also on the call because he and I went to the wrong number. Is Michael a member of the committee?
He's not. The committee consists of PMB members and a couple of staff members.
Well, and then also Alex Steinberg and Linda Foley and Chris Corey.
They were authorized by the committee or by the, well, this is the first time the committee's met, I guess by the LSB as a former member from last year who can advise. They're strictly in advisory capacity. They don't have votes on the board.
Okay. They were. I don't think it was authorized by the LSBs. I think it's authorized by the PMB, right?
That's, excuse me. Yes, I misspoke. Yeah, thank you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Not the first time I've made that mistake. I'm glad
Not
you knew
uncommon.
What I was talking about. Thank you for helping keep track of me. So,
Beth, this is Heather.
Thank
Beth?
You, Heather. Yes, thank you.
I'm on.
That means we now have quorum. So we have, we're calling the meeting to order at this point. We've done a roll call. The members we have present at tonight's meeting are Jim Dingaman, Heather Gray, James McFadden, James Sagerton, myself, Beth Van Gunten, and Susan Young. And we have two of the three people authorized from last year's Strategic Planning Committee to serve as advisors for some sake of continuity. And that's Alex Steinberg and Lyndon Foley. They don't contribute toward quorum, but we're glad to welcome them here. Before we have Fred Blair at the control panel for Maestro Call.
Point of information?
Yes?
McFadden, I was just curious, for this committee, are there no members of the LSBs or is it just PNB members?
This is just PNB members. That was the way the original mandate was written. That's the way that the elections were conducted.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Thank you. It's good to be clear.
Let me offer, I am taking notes. This is Susan.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll check with you after the meeting. If I may, it'll help me put together minutes. Thanks so much.
Great.
So I sent around an agenda when I sent the updated access information. I'll read through it briefly now. We have called to order and done roll call. We're now on approving the agenda. At that point, we'll elect a chair pro tem. Item number four is the body of the meeting is to discuss the scope of the National Strategic Planning Committee work for 2022. And then the fifth item before we end will be to schedule a regular meeting day and time. And then I will adjourn, hopefully within 2 hours from now. It'll be more like an hour and a half from when we've convened. Do I hear any objections to that agenda or amendments? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. Now, election for chair pro tem. We take nominations from the floor.
I nominate Jim Dingaman. Susan.
Thank you. Jim Dingaman. Anybody else?
Beth,
my name is
James. May I be recognized?
Yes, James.
I think as long as he's here, you might as well ask Jim if he wants to accept that nomination.
That's a good idea. That's what we're supposed to do, right? So, Jim, Mr. Dingley?
Yeah, sure. I'll accept that. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you. So I guess with no other nominations, then, we may save ourselves a vote. So... given that there are no other nominations, I will declare Mr. Dingaman chair pro tem for today, and I'll turn the gavel over to him. Thank you.
Well, before you do that, Beth, what is the agenda? I can't see the agenda right now. What's the next thing we're going to talk about?
It's the main thing we're going to talk about, and that's to discuss the scope of the National Strategic Planning Committee work for 2022.
All right. Did Alex dig up that report that he was going to report?
I haven't dug it up yet, but I can give you a 30-second summary of what it said if you want.
Go on, man. Go on, Alex.
Well, I mean, basically, the report went into the what you're talking about right now, the scope of the work of the Strategic Planning Committee. And the scope really hasn't changed since this Strategic Planning Committee was first created, I think, in 2017 or 2018. And that is to develop a strategic plan for Pacifica that looks at Pacifica in a holistic manner. And that means not only planning our financial recovery, but everything that's involved in that, and that goes into programming, it goes into governance, it goes into reconsideration of the mission of Pacifica, and so on and so forth. And we have had to break up, delineate the tasks of the strategic plan into near-term goals, mid-term goals, long-term goals. And in the
past year, the Strategic Planning Committee was concentrating on developing new revenue streams for Pacifica. And those of you who were on the committee know we spent a lot of time discussing the possibility of monetizing the archives, particularly the idea of creating non-fungible tokens, NFTs, and see if that could make any headway. We also discussed the possibility of developing a private placement bond offering as a way of transferring our current debt to a more friendly membership and perhaps a lower interest. And Chris Corey was particularly involved in that area, and I think he had done some research with some law firms. I don't recall exactly where we were with that. And another area we were discussing was monetizing podcasting, and there had been an initiative from WBAI in that area. However, it was, and I believe still is, hung up in legal issues. Not that there's a big legal challenge, but we had to get clearance from our FCC attorneys on the contracts we were proposing, and that clearance hasn't happened due to. I don't want to get into why it hasn't happened, but it hasn't happened. So that it's sort of a block to that revenue stream that really has to be unblocked. We also discussed getting grants for emergency preparedness. Beth can tell you much more about that. And in order to get those grants, we have to actually develop some emergency preparedness plans for Pacifica as a whole and for all of the stations. And there are a bunch of grants available, including grants from FEMA. So that's something we were also working on. Again, Beth knows the most about that. And in fact, that was one of the areas we were investigating where we actually managed to get a motion passed by the National Board about that. The other area we were looking at, that we did get a motion out to the National Board, was to create the Pacifica National Advisory Council. And the idea behind that was to get together a body that would, unlike the National Board, would not have fiduciary responsibilities or duties, but would be a panel either of experts or of people whose name recognition could benefit Pacifica in many ways. That was supposed to have been set up already. It has not, for whatever reason. Anyway, that's where we were. I leave it up to the committee to decide if they want to continue or they want to embark on something new. I think it would be foolish to drop all that work, but of course, there may be some other new avenues you might want to explore as well.
All right. Alex, is Lyndon here, the other gentleman who was with you, the gentleman from Texas? He's on the phone call.
I think so.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you, is there anything you want to add to what Alex is saying? It's Lyndon, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you finally. Go on.
Okay. Well, I was concentrating there at the end on the non-fungible tokens, and we did progress to a point where we spoke with the archivist, and I think we need to get back to that. And really, the P&B, well, first, I guess, the Strategic Planning Committee, and then the P&B is going to have to come to make a decision that, yes, we are going to do this, and then, you know, set some people to proceed doing it. Because we are, in the end, in charge of our archives. And so when I got this message today about this meeting, I didn't, I haven't gone back and done any NFT studying in the last 3 or 4 months, although I've had a couple of email messages with Chris over different things. Like, I think Nike, he sent me something. Nike has just bought some guy out who is making tennis shoes, but digitally. It's just all you can have, just the fanciest looking thing you want. And Nike thought enough about it that they bought this, and so they're going to have digital tennis shoes. And it kind of makes sense, because you can do, you know, anything you want with the, you know, the right computer graphics. And it's like the same as having, if you have 200 pairs of tennis shoes, if you collect the physical thing, I mean, how can you can't possibly wear them. You got to store them. You got to keep them from dry rotting, you know. But anyway, so I have gone back and looked at some of my notes on NFTs, and some of the things that I have taken out of the archives. Or just print it out. I had requested copies of some things, but they never materialized. I would have liked to have listened to them, so I would suggest that y'all get copies of certain archives so you can listen to it and see what you think. But here's one, the Hearst kidnapping and the SLA. You know, audio of 3 or 4 communiques from the SLA to KPFA, which features the voice of Patricia Campbell Hearst and members of the SLA. I thought that was pretty historic, and you might, you know, get a penny, pretty penny for it. There's mundane things like Tales of Whales, you know, California celebrities doing something about rallying for whales, and has like Jerry Brown, former governor twice, Joni Mitchell, Country Joe McDonald, you know, Burgess Meredith, what was he, the Penguin, and Jeff Bridges, other people like that. That'd be something. One on Lowriders. So you like that song, Lowriders, who is War does that. And then we have 7 words you can never say on television with George Carlin, recorded by Roy Tuckman. I think we could sell that as an NFT. And then from the vault, George Carlin, Pacifica, and the FCC. Now, there's no, you know, this is our own fight with the FCC. So there can't be any, you know, issues with us having the right to try to monetize that. I think, you know, I would help if somebody got the ball rolling, if our CEO or executive director was behind this and could make it happen. You know, I would help out on something like this. It's you know, still a viable option. We probably missed the crazy part, but you know, sometimes these things die down and then they build back up, and it becomes something. Anyway, so that was my idea.
All right. My personal reaction to all these initiatives is they should be pursued and developed. The question is, the structure you guys laid out in this committee is that there are 3 of you who are essentially advisors who can act on this stuff or who are part of the process right now. Is that correct?
Jim, I would say that from my understanding, we could be called on to be advisors, but, you know, and maybe be on more calls than just tonight, but we don't have any votes. No, we would just be like volunteers, I think.
But you guys could be empowered, yep, to basically follow and, yep, pursue these kind of initiatives, correct?
Jim, I can explain what the idea is.
Go on, Alex.
since it wasn't my idea. look, the work of a committee like strategic planning doesn't begin and end because some, you know, there's a deadline for seating a new board every year. These deadlines are artificial. The work of a committee like this is should be a continuous work. And it makes no sense to act as if we have to start all over again every time a new committee is seated, coinciding with the seating of the new board. So it seemed to make sense to, for the sake of establishing some continuity, to have people who sat in and worked on the previous year's committee join the new committee as advisors. And particularly in some case, where people are not simply advisors, but they were actually doing a lot of research and working on some of these items, and particularly Chris, who was doing a lot of work on researching the private placement bond offering, and Lyndon, who was doing a lot of work on the NFT issue. It just made sense, and it might be something you might want to consider doing for other committees in the future. You know, it would, these committees would then get going a lot faster than they have been in the past.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Yeah, hold on a second. 1 second. I personally agree with you. I'm just trying to say that these initiatives that, you know, so you got you, Alex, Chris, and Lyndon, and that's it. It's only three people, right?
There were other people on the committee, but I'm not aware that the other people would be interested in serving as advisors, but they can certainly be asked.
Well, yeah, I would think that these initiatives should be fully developed and pursued immediately as we're talking, and then whatever kind of new, obviously we have a whole different kind of circumstance going on right now with this situation with three stations collapsing simultaneously, and that would require, you know, perhaps others working on issues that are related to the near term, midterm, et cetera. But go on, Jim.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, on, okay. Jim. I just wanted to say that I agree that the idea of having emeritus, shall we say, ex officio members of committees is one worthy of discussion, but especially in this context where we're trying to take the long view, the medium and the short-term view as well, but also the long view, I think it's especially helpful to have that experience and to continue to use the work and the experience, the knowledge that people have gained by investigating things like NFTs and other things.
Right. That's a no-brainer, Jim. Who else was one to comment
Madam,
on?
Madam, Mr. Chair?
Go on.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Thank you. This is Susan.
Susan, go on, Susan.
First of all, I'd like to second what James Sagerson said, is that emeritus members of committees might be very helpful. Second thing, though, I'd like to say is, Jim Dingman, I'd like to challenge the question of whether we are automatically pursuing all the things that were identified last year. I would appreciate seeing, again, Alex's written report and be able to, for instance, identify those things that might be of higher priority or lesser priority. And as you have already brought out, the situation, while it may have been this dire before, has been brought more clearly to the fore in our PNB, and there are conversations that are going to proceed about that. Two more things. One, the emergency services thing seems to be something that is always important. Beth is, I guess, chairing the working group on that, and that there may be some things that we could look at that she's teeing up. And then the whole question of that Jim, you've brought up, is how we're framing reviewing programming in light of like Nielsen ratings and looking at national questions of whether there should be more arts programming, that kind of thing. So rather than just saying we're stepping forward on exactly where the committee left off last, I would like for us to give that a critical review.
Okay, I agree. But all I'm saying is if we have extra three people who are willing to work on this stuff, let them do it, and then we can obviously select things that are in line with what you're saying, Susan. Heather, do you got a comment on all this? Heather?
Do I want to comment? I'm just listening, learning, actually.
All right, fine. All right,
Jim
McFadden. Jim McFadden, you got a comment on all this stuff?
I do. I think I appreciate having people who have worked on these ideas, especially to come forward and explain them and as we go forward and you know, tapping that is a great idea. I did have a question. I assume that means that we're not locked in. What we're going to do is we're going to at some point have a discussion about these different things and how they would be implemented. You know, because up till now, you know, for example, on NFTs, you know, I know a little bit about these things, but not that much. And I think it's worthy of having discussion, but I assume that's not for right now. We're just deciding on a committee structure. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would think so. But we could perhaps talk about that a little later if we have time. Who else hasn't had a comment? What about you, Elizabeth?
Thank you. Yes, I do have a couple items. One, the only member from last year that we didn't reach out to this year was Sandra Rawline, who was effectively not active last year. She attended at least, I mean, I managed to get to all the meetings, and I don't remember her at most, if any, at all. And she's off of the board now. I would have no problem if she'd want to. I just didn't want to bother her because I know she's had other things in her own life to deal with. I would be happy to talk to the committee about the emergency management work group, the motion that passed at the end of last year. I can send that around if we're going to be setting up an email list, I can send it around. You can see, I'll circulate the original motion, the original resolution, so you can see the scope of it. And I'm priming the pump in the background mostly with management and other contacts. And so I'd be happy to go over that at a future meeting. I would like to say that this strategic planning process, I sat on the committee last year for the first time, and it's not the only strategic planning process I've been through at nonprofits, but the others followed a pretty common pattern, and this is very different from that. I do think it's important to talk about strategic planning, but we should continue because this is all we have available to us at the moment. But I would like to for the entire organization to work toward setting up a formal strategic planning process. It would take funding for that, probably some kind of grant for capacity building. And it would take bringing in someone from the outside who specializes in these processes and would survey the staff and the management and the boards first separately and then synthesize the findings and then bring us together to discuss what our common values are, because I think it's been probably, I mean, I haven't heard about a process in organizations in as long as I've been around. And we do seem to have pretty divergent values and principles and ways of working, and it would help if we could find our common ground and agree on what our common ground is and then on our priorities as an organization for moving forward. And so that's a much more formal, formidable process, and we're not in a position to do it without funding and time. So I don't think we should stop this process to wait for that, but I would like for the organization to work toward being able to implement that maybe later this year, maybe next year. So I have that in mind. And if we were going around, to, like last year we went around and just talked about what possible interests each of us had to try to bring to the table and work on. And if we were doing that this year, I'd like to identify risk management as an area that I'd like to focus on for the year. I realize that a lot of what I bring up in other committees falls under that rubric, and that this organization doesn't address risk management formally at any level of the process. And I think it has a lot to do with why we're bleeding out legal fees. And if we address the issue of ratcheting down our liability across the board, we could save ourselves a lot of trouble and not have to solve all those problems that we prevent. So I'll likely be focusing on that this year, among other things.
Risk management.
Risk management. It's a thing. If you do a search on it, or risk management best practices, you'll bring up like boatloads of stuff. And I've got files of it, and I'll try to organize some of that and boil it down and present it at a future meeting so everybody else can think about it with me.
All right. And I should note for historical purposes that in the past, the old PNB indeed had meetings which were strategic planning meetings. And they did that in the 80s. They did that in the 90s. I recall when they did those things, and I've actually encountered and read some of the results. So it's not foreign to Pacifica at all. As I understand strategic planning, it's pretty much accepted in the business school world. And I think Alex summarized it pretty well in the beginning, the question of how you holistically synthesize the use of resources to obtain certain near, mid, and short and long-term goals, and also operationalize them. And so that, to me, is the most important thing, how to operationalize these things into concrete things that have a immediate effect and a beneficial effect. Anyway, who else said something about this? Go on, Beth.
Could I ask if you're aware of previous documentation, especially from that far back, could you share it with us? Could you find it and send it around?
I sent it to you and a couple of other people, but I don't have it. I don't have everybody's email, so maybe you could just spread it around.
In answer to your question, Beth, I will do that. I should also note that when we moved to Atlantic Avenue from the, I guess where we, when we were at that World Finance Center facility, the owner of the place we were in at 388 Atlantic Avenue, I'm now referring to BAI, she and us, we both got into this strategic planning thing. So we assembled literally probably 40 strategic plans from radio stations, some of which were completely bullshit, but a lot of them were useful to look at. So it's not a unknown plan. The thing is to coordinate and get everybody on board. And the main thing they emphasize all the time is common values, commonality of vision. And we know that's not shared at all in each station, let alone throughout the whole system. So that's one of the things that breaks down immediately. Anyway, who else hasn't commented about this issue at this point? Who else have I excluded so far? Who wants to talk about it? Who's on the call? Jim, did you comment? Who else? Because I didn't take... is Michael here? Michael here? Michael Novick?
Did you hear me? I just said I sent out the... I sent out the summary of the Strategic Planning Committee's work that I presented to the board.
All right, thank you, Alex. But who hasn't commented about what we're talking about right now and all this stuff? Jim, have you commented?
Yes, I did.
All right, Jim Sagerton. Do you want to talk about anything here? Jim?
No, I'm good. I'm hearing a lot of
ideas that we've heard before, and people are expressing themselves, so I'm just letting that happen. I don't feel a need to comment at this time.
All right. One thing I think important strategically right now is to deal with the morale of the listener members in all the different signal areas. I'm referring to PFW and KPFA, but especially Los Angeles, Houston, and New York. And as I understand it, at the board level, there is a motion that is there that calls for the management to hold report to the listeners monthly. Is that correct? Are people aware of that motion? There's a motion there to actually have managers hold those kind of meetings on the air monthly. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. I would suggest that that's something that we should really, for morale purposes, put out because, you know, we have a rather high type A motivated listenership. With at least a certain percentage of them are very motivated to want to be included in decision-making processes and also to comment about what's going on. And I think that given the level of the kind of things going on, you know, just this past weekend, I don't have to tell everybody on this phone call all this crazy shit that happened over the weekend. You know, I think it's important to really be communicating openly and honestly by management to the listener members in their areas. And I would suggest and recommend something as an actual item to come out this meeting that we suggest that the national program or the national board insist that the that particular measure be implemented in each station area, that there'll be honest and open reports to listeners on a monthly basis talking about the issues that pertain to Pacifica. And the reason I say that in terms of money is that it's been my experience based on, and Jim was participating in this with me at BAI, is when you deal directly with the listener members and tell them what's going on, they respond positively. They understand. They just want to be included in this process. And I think it's very important for us right now to do that as a strategic measure. And so that's one thing I would, you know, throw out as something. We already have it as a motion. I think it has to be implemented in all the different stations simultaneously throughout the country. And that's a no-brainer, easy thing to do, and it's put on the burden of the management to do it, even though I know some of them don't like to do it. But I really do think we have to really communicate right now during this period of turmoil to our audiences what the hell is going on. Anyway, that's just a first thing that comes out of my mind. What else is on the agenda? Does anybody really, in terms of what we should do, does anybody have any ideas of things that they should want to focus on that haven't been suggested so far?
If I could, Mr. Chair, if I could just speak up for a minute, Susan.
Yeah, you don't have to say Mr. Chair. Just say Jim. Don't worry about Susan. Go on, Susan.
Jim. Okay, but there are too many Jims. There are three Jims on this call.
All right, we'll figure out how to work. Go on.
Dear, I agree with Beth that this committee does not contain a formal strategic planning process. It seems to me that it's a committee in which ideas are coming forward about a variety of different things. You know, possible financial structures, risk management, morale. That's just kind of a quick sample of the things that are spinning out of this. I agree with Beth that bringing in a professional facilitator strategic planning process would be the most effective way to get the entire body bought in, but that can only be done when there are sufficient resources to hire people who are really good and for people to devote the time. I think we're facing, you know, a six-week period in which our cash crisis, at the very least, is going to command everybody's attention first and foremost. So not only do we not have the resources for that, but I don't think we could get people's attention at this time. But I like her way of framing
what essentially the role of this committee might be and is not really set up to be.
All right. Anybody else have something to say about this?
This is Beth again. If
go on, Beth.
Yeah, I will be looking for ways to make that possible later. We don't have the resources to do it now, and I do think it's necessary. And at the same time, I don't think we should waste the time. We shouldn't just sit here and not do these meetings because we don't have that process in place. So for me, what we did last year was sort of a thoughtful, elaborate to-do list. And I definitely did my list, and I'm still working it now. I mean, it set it up so that I could continue to work on it. And that's not quite the same as a strategic plan, but it does have value. And until we get a formal strategic planning process in place and available to us, I do want to continue. We should make use of this time and the context in which to come together, think out loud together, try on ideas, see what we can do about to identify common priorities, mutual priorities, and I like that I agree with Jim that the operational element is crucial. So thank you.
All right, anybody else? Anybody else have comments? All right, well, I'm going to suggest this. One, I agree with Susan, but unfortunately there's no resources to bring somebody like that in or a group of people in. I'm sure it'd be quite costly. You can't bring in McKinsey and company like that, you know, who do these things for big businesses to just jump in here. Although it'd be interesting to see if there's some pro bono way to get this. That'd be one thing to explore. Two, all the business schools, the Better Business Schools, I'm sure whatever schools out in any business school in the United States has classes that teach strategic planning. So that literature should be easily accessible. And I'm pretty sure that, again, with inquiries to professors in these business school programs, and I'm sure they're even in nonprofit management courses or subdivisions in schools. I know Columbia has something like that. I'm pretty sure there's somebody who teaches strategic planning, so I could look into that myself. I'd be curious to see who we might get to come and talk about that with us, because, again, it's a no-brainer kind of thing. It's sort of along the lines of what Alec was talking about. Three, the ideas that were talked about before we even started, I personally think are worthwhile and important to pursue and operationalize, you know, all those different things that Alex and Lyndon were talking about. But in terms of what's going on right now, I would think the near term right now strategically is how to get the whole place jump started right now and how to bring in things that we haven't thought of in terms of money. Now, the fourth thing about that is the question of foundations. That's what I was under the impression that advisory council would perhaps be set up to do, that something that Stephanie would control or be able to talk upon. I think she was talking about the need to have a group of advisors that she could talk about that could be problem-oriented, including the kind of people that Alex is talking about, you know, high-profile types, versus people who can specifically handle certain kind of problems and needs at the same time. And I think that right now, of course, the problem is how do we jumpstart L.A., Houston, and New York, which all have their own particular cultural and distinct characteristics different from each other. How to avoid a repeater situation, which if one looks at the fiscal dimensions of what's going on is not an illogical conclusion, one that I don't agree with, that I want to fight as much as I can to prevent, but is not a illogical conclusion. So the question is, how do we, what do we do? What do we think about? What do we think out loud strategically to help turn that around right now? What will work? What will not work? What will be accepted in these different, very different, complicated local situations politically, as we know, both Los Angeles, New York, and Houston are different in a lot of ways, similar but different. So that near-term problem of cash shortage is, to me, a very important one to focus in on immediately, as we're doing midterm and long-term kind of things too. So that's just what sort of pops up in my brain just looking at this. But I want to hear what other people have to say. Don't knock me over.
Can I say something? I'm going to have to go on for 4 minutes.
Who's that? Is that Alex? Yeah.
Most of the projects we've been working on are near-term projects, actually. Near-term, maybe mid-term. The idea of the NFTs, that's a near-term project. That could actually translate into revenue in a matter of months if we pursued it aggressively and systematically. I'm not saying there's any guarantee it will succeed, but I think there's some good potential there. Also, podcasting, that's another one. That can translate into a new revenue stream, I'd say within 6 months to a year, maybe a little longer, but it so maybe it's something between a near term and a midterm kind of thing. So these are projects that could increase your revenue stream very quickly if they were pursued systematically. What I am hearing is a desire, which is understandable, to start anew. And I've seen this over and over again at Pacifica. Every board wants to start anew, as if nothing that happened before has any value. I think you're going to make a big mistake if you do that, frankly. But so I urge you to continue the work that the Strategic Planning Committee has been doing. And, of course, there may be new avenues you want to explore, and that's fine. I don't think, in my own opinion, I don't think you're going to, at least in a near term, get very far by finding a consulting group or something that's going to give you a kind of a formal strategic plan and all that. I don't see that as going anywhere, frankly. But anyway, that's my opinion. Thanks.
Well, my point was that we were given a formal strategic plan in the early 90s, and that was a plan that caused tremendous turmoil, as we all know. But yeah, it's just, it's the plan. We ourselves can, with probably additional help, think through these kind of problems. They are holistic. That's why we need the data from the managers and the stations to sort of suss out these problems. But I hear what Susan says. I hear what Alex says. I hear all these points. The question is staffing, Alex. Like, you know, in other words, you need us to go and help work on these kind of projects, or you guys can do it yourself and implement them. Lyndon and Alex, can you guys implement it yourselves, or do you need help?
I don't know that they would implement. They would explore. Because they're not in a position to implement non-fungible tokens. That would have to be the board and Pacifica management.
Let me speak on that.
All right, go on, Alex.
The idea of monetizing the archives is, first of all, not restricted to NFTs. There are other possible ways in which we can monetize the archives. That's just one of them, and happens to be the one that we've done the most exploration on. I have proposed a very specific plan to sort of get that whole thing going of monetizing the archives. I don't think I can discuss it in an open session, but there's actually been some very specific proposals on this.
All right.
This is Beth again.
Go on, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. So Pepperdine University out here in Malibu has the Grazia Dio School of Management, Graduate School of Management, that has, it's within range of where I am here. I got there through the Ventura County Community Foundation, where I got most of my other training, and they offer courses in this. One of the people who teaches there was the one who conducted the strategic planning process I went through like 10 years ago at another local nonprofit that's roughly our same size. So I'm familiar with his process. I've seen a similar thing done by other people, but he's this guy comes to mind because he was really good at it, I thought, and because he's local here and would probably still be available. And I would bet you dollars to donuts that he's already a Pacifica listener. I don't know that for a fact, but he will at least be aware of us and sympathetic. But this is what he does for a living, so we would need to get probably grant money from somewhere to do that. Now, about grants, so I chair the National Development Task Force, and each month we review various potential revenue streams, one of which is grants. And where we stand on grants right now is that we've been so down for so long that we've compromised a lot of our financial credibility and organizational credibility in the grant world. And so it, as is reflected in our philanthropic ratings at places like GuideStar, and Charity Navigator. There are other ones, but those are the two big ones. And one of the first things that Stephanie did when she got here, I pointed out that one of the reasons that our ratings were so far down was that they hadn't even been updated for years to reflect any current reality, let alone the fact that we'd improved. So she went in and did that immediately, and that helped. But, it helps that we've gotten our audits in place. It doesn't change the fact that the content of those audits is still pretty dismal. If we keep working our plan, we will eventually get ourselves up out of that hole, but not this week or next. So grants that come from foundations, other nonprofits, or family foundations, or major major donors, those are probably not going to be available to us until we manage to improve our financial situation and our governance situation. There are other grants like what we got through the PPP or the EIDL loan where it's big money, it's federal money, they're very persnickety about how the forms are filled out, but they're usually not as restricted critical. I mean, they recognize that we're struggling and that that's not unreasonable given the state of the world. And the FEMA grants I had in mind in particular because they offer major, major grants for things like strategic infrastructure, critical infrastructure, rather, for which we qualify. And if there wouldn't be open-ended grants, but they would do a lot to help stabilize our situation and refurbish our equipment and facilities, and they might be more available to us sooner than foundational grants. So I've talked to Stephanie about it. One of our GMs has already gone to the FEMA webinar, as has Stephanie. Excuse me. This is just garden variety asthma, nothing more exotic than that. I'll be continuing to track that with Stephanie as things become available. There's only one or two things available through FEMA right now. There will probably be more once the new fiscal year begins because that's when there's new money. So I'd be happy to report back as we pursue that. You're welcome. Anybody here is welcome to come to the National Development Task Force also, because we reviewed that there, among other revenue tracks. So that I mentioned grant now because someone else did. And I guess there was something else that I have forgotten now, but I'll relinquish the floor, and if it pops back in, I'll mention it. Thank you.
Who was the other voice I heard in the background there?
This is McFadden.
Who was that?
I wanted to. McFadden.
Yeah, I liked him.
Being new to this committee, I'm still trying to get my balance and see what kinds of things we can do. And I understand the various problems. I have kind of a question and then a kind of a follow-up. One is, the question is, are we going to get down in this committee, or are we going to do kind of top-down? Are we going to say, yeah, let's go to the moon, but we're not going to have any engineers that are going to figure out how to do it? Or are we going to do some of the, you know, nitty-gritty work of figuring out, like, the way to monetize, you know, our archives and brainstorm on that? Or are we going to say, yeah, we're going to monetize it and then find somebody else to figure out how to do it? That's kind of my question. And the reason I think about that is it seems like there could be, for example, with monetizing the archive, a very quick solution that does two things. One of the problems with our archives is they're an archive and nobody has access to them. So nobody's really listening to them anymore, and they get dragged out every once in a while and played on the air, but they're not really available. And if you could find like some really famous speech, and you could say, and then you basically auction off for a sponsor. And now that speech becomes available for anybody to click on and listen to it, and that sponsor's name is sitting there next to him. The sponsor is, you know, has ponied up some money for Pacifica, and we've done two things. One, we've gotten our stuff out there, which is not being heard, that's just sitting in a room somewhere on tape or something, and it's available all the time. And we're monetizing it because somebody's going to donate a big chunk, and maybe, you know, depending upon what it is, maybe they get their name sitting next to it for a year, and then somebody else can donate, you know, and sponsor it for the following year. But people who like to, you know, it's like the people that want to have their name on a bench somewhere, and it provides comfort to people who are walking along and need a place to sit down. So I'm kind of wondering if we're going to get down into the weeds and think about, like, how we can actually make this happen, especially on a short term, or are we going to stick with just high level?
This is Lyndon. I'd like to comment on that.
Go on, Lyndon.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. McFadden, we last year, in fact, it was about a year ago, so Alex and I were going to our plan was to actually do it, and we were going to do a test situation for a non-fungible token, and we were going to ask for like $200 from the ED and I think for that we could have got the thing minted, I think is what it's called, and then, you know, we would rely on members, either LSB or PNB, to do the research on how best to advertise it, which I think would be a big boon to us. If we can get the advertising right, that's finding who we want to buy this thing. So, I think it was going to be a hands-on by committee members.
Well, that's an interesting idea, Lyndon. I should add and throw into the mix here, about 5 to 6 years ago, Timothy Naftali, many of you who watch CNN know Timothy. Timothy gets on there as a presidential historian. He's teaching NYU. He was in charge of the Tamet Library, which is essentially the area of the NYU library system where they house, for example, the records of the Communist Party. They have all sorts of interesting stuff over there. It's essentially a left archive. And Timothy asked me, well, I'd love to be able to display on our website audio from the Pacifica archives. And I said, well, that's a brilliant idea, but the problem is I don't have the power to do that. And plus, I know they want money for it, Tim. But the idea of actually marketing the audio onto certain kind of, let's say, archives that would be, you know, we could politically agree with or good places to advertise it, you know, I think would be, if you're talking about marketing that stuff, that would be, to me, a pretty interesting idea to do. Like, not necessarily sell it to them, but in ways to publicize it to different audiences that we don't normally think of throughout the country. And this offer packages of our audio to be listened to on the websites of major universities, I think would be, because that was essentially what Timothy and I were talking about. And I remember I went, and at that time I talked to some people at the board and nobody was interested in it, but the marketing of the audio is a very interesting problem. Another problem, just listening to what Beth said, and I know this is true because I myself, many years ago, a close friend of mine was a temporary director of the National Endowment of the Arts. This is Joan Shigehara. Joan was the creative arts director for the Rockefeller Foundation. And, you know, it'd be interesting to ask people like her what they think. How do you turn a foundation that's perceived in the way it is by the foundation community, which we know is generally negative in the foundation community, how do you turn that around? How do you get out of that mess? And how do we turn Pacifica around that way? And that's something I think the whole question of the foundation funding, the pros and cons of that, how we can actually, because I don't think we can depend on foundation grants. I think that some people think that we can solve our financial problems like that. I think that's ridiculous. But certainly as a source of income and streams coming in, KPFA, they were getting $90,000 a year to train people in their news department or their staff from a foundation. It was a five-year grant, I understand, that they got, which is really terrific. But that I'd like to see shared throughout the whole network. But also, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to get into a good situation with foundations of all types. Remember, we were bailed out by the Ford Foundation in 1951-52. We wouldn't exist right now if that hadn't happened. So that's one thing I think would be good, to figure out how to turn that whole situation around. But in terms of what you, Lyndon and Alex, were saying, is this staffing issue is what I'm saying. Like, there's only six of us or seven of us here. You guys need our help to do this? What you want to do, can you initiate it yourselves?
Susan said, we can't, you know, we're not on the board, so we can't do anything. But I could, Alex and I could lay out what we think that you as strategic plan members and P&B members should do, and you would either, and then you would be your decision, do I need to go to the P&B to request that the ED gives me $200 or $300 so I can mint this NFT? And then, you know, we would probably just take one person to mint it. But when it goes up for auction, that's when I would want to make sure that make sure that the people that I thought had the highest propensity to bid the most money were aware that it was out there. I wouldn't want to just throw it out there and not.
All right, go on, Susan.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. I'm opposed to encumbering intellectual capital, which is what this is. And it is, we
no,
need
it's
to
not.
Understand what the long-term ramifications are. You're selling the right to the what's in the archive, aren't you?
No, you're not. It's really weird. But you are, there's plenty of opinions that I've read, and that was one of the things Alex was talking about, I think, getting a legal, a more formal legal opinion but you're not giving up your copyright. It's just a weirdness. It's a weirdness in society where people are willing to pay large sums of money just so they can have their name on something. And it's in their digital wallet, and it's in some blockchain. It's bragging rights. That's all it is. It's bragging rights. But we would retain the copyright to it.
I need to understand that better. And you said it was a $10,000 investment to have a law firm look into this for us.
No, I did not say that. I did not say that.
Okay.
I said
read
Alex,
the articles
Alex,
that you sent me, and I have deep concerns about it. I frankly like James McFadden's idea better of essentially getting somebody who attaches their name to it, which is a different thing from NFTs.
I think one of the things NFTs, you should think of them as like those things where you can pay $25 and have a star. It's sort of one of those things, you know. It's kind of a meaningless thing, you know, but you can say, yeah, I got the certificate. That star's my star, you know, but it's not really. That's the way I look at the NFT. But I don't like about the NFT is that, and since we're going a little deeper into it, is that it's not clear that they do the function of getting those archives out there for the public to hear. And I think getting those archives out for the public to hear is an important thing for publicizing Pacifica and getting one to listen to us. And so if the NFT can do that, you know, then I'm okay with that, you know, as opposed to just the idea that I throw out there. But, you know, I think we really should try to do both, you know, in some way here. And I'm just not sure I see that. The idea.
This is Lyndon again. Yes, you can do both. The NFT is just revenue. It's money. And we're not buying. We're purely selling. So really, I don't think there's any way we can be harmed here. We're just selling into a frothy market. And yeah, you can we retain all the copyrights, and you can do all the other stuff you want with it to publicize. Yeah, I mean, you had a good idea. But it's not the same as the NFT. The NFT, you could find somebody who's willing to pay $5,000, or some crypto bro willing to pay $50,000.
All right. Well, obviously, all these initiatives, you guys have written these things out. These are all written out as options. What Alex is talking about, et cetera.
No, it hasn't been written out. No.
All right. Well, maybe you know you guys could write it out, and you know, like what your intentions are with each of these options, and then we just boom, like consider them, and then boom, implement them, or argue and debate about whether we want to do that or not. But I think that the other question is, let me just direct it, you know, because I agree that we shouldn't lose continuity with what's been done in the past. I totally agree with that. But I'm curious to get from the people here who are now new members, let's do it in order. And then is there anything else to do in this meeting besides end it? but I'm just curious, before we do that, what you guys think are the priorities right now? Because it's easy to get the literature on strategic planning and then figure out a way for everybody to get that and absorb it and see what that means. Well, what kind of things do you think we should focus in on near term, mid term, and long term? And let me we're throwing out ideas here. Heather, let's start with you. What kind of things do you think? what comes
okay.
to mind? I'll put you on the spot there in Atlanta.
No, that's all right. I was sitting there thinking because I wanted to share this. Can people hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Okay. I think I probably mentioned this to a few folks on Pacifica, but one of the things I've realized when we look at the fact that we're losing revenue and so forth is that the whole media platform just generally has has changed, has become so incredibly diverse, right? So people are, you know, they're looking at the internet for articles, for videos, or, you know, just everything, and not necessarily going to radio like they used to. My voice is going on me, I'm sorry. But what's occurred to me is that I think, and I've been wanting to do this, I've talked with a few folks about this, but in any case, to develop a national committee of sorts outside of radio as well, and have people writing about the history of community radio, just generally, so people have a better understanding of its history and the important role that we play in radio of representing the masses of the people, and a huge range of cultures that you don't get in any other media outlet. The history of the work that we've been doing in radio is so incredibly profound. So, again, what I was thinking of wanting to do is develop a national committee, not just in radio, but in all kinds of platforms, to get information out about certainly the history of Pacifica and get articles in everywhere as much as possible, just to educate people about this. Because the thing is, one of the things that community radio does generally, of course, and this is what we've been mentioning, is to get donations from individuals, right? So this is one way that we can, if we educate people about the history and how we have generally managed to survive is through the support of the masses of the people, I think it could help us. But anyway, that's just a beginning strategy. I need to write this up and share it with people.
Why don't I ask, all right, no, it makes sense. Why don't you write it as a memo, put your ideas down to paper, and then share them with us.
I absolutely will.
And then, of course, the other thing is, when you get back into what we're trying to do here, you know, holistically, long, short term, midterm, long term, as terms of what we should do, action wise, in terms of the situation we're in right now. Susan, your thoughts?
Okay, I really like what Heather came up with. I guess one of the things I'd be very interested in focusing on is how things are changing over age groups.
Very good,
what
yes.
that means in terms of the ways that younger people access and manipulate information. Because radio is an old thing. Is there a new form for it, the way that there are vinyl records or whatever?
Right.
But where do we fit in that arc?
All right, that's very good. And I should add that this past weekend, in the technology task force, what we did, I recommend people getting the Infinite Dial, which is put out by Edison. We went through in great detail. I can sort of, if we have sort of a Google Dropbox or someplace like that, I can put it in there. But basically it was on just that. It was on how different age groups process radio, podcasting, the use of Facebook, YouTube, et cetera. And it's clear in looking at that study that one of the problems in our morning show and afternoon show drive time strategy is that there are structurally different ways that younger people access media in general, which just normal morning and afternoon drive time strategies may not be sufficient. It has to be intermingled with social media. So that's a great one. Go on. Jim McFadden, what are your thoughts? And just off the top.
Well, again, I was I'm kind of left not getting my question answered, feeling like, for our group, you know, are we going to get down in the weeds? Are we going to do just top level kind of thing? And getting down in the weeds and making sure that and figuring out how to do details is something I do regularly in my work. And but, you know, maybe that's not the goal for this group. Quite here in answer
fair,
on that.
Fair point. Are we a bunch of comandantes, or what are we going to do? Are we going to do the shit work? That's a good point. Let's see. Who else hasn't been tapped? Beth.
Thank you. Yes.
I did remember what I was going to say before. It was Jim McFadden that prompted me. This group of people and Pacificans in general don't lack for good ideas. We've all got ideas coming out of our heads. But if you want it to manifest, I suggest you be prepared to take on that work yourself, because we certainly don't have staff to assign this to. We don't have the money to hire staff to do it. And just simply laying the ideas on the table where we can all admire them doesn't get the work done. So if you bring an idea and want to assure that it does get done, do be prepared to get down in the weeds. I would suggest that there's kind of a natural distinction between what this committee does in sorting through ideas and prioritizing them and figuring out how to implement them, and the development task force, where I really am trying to find people to take on very specific projects on their own, and it's starting to work. So if there are people here who have a good idea and do want to go to work on it, we'll welcome you there, and I'd be happy to put you in touch with anybody else who is thinking along similar lines. So that's more in terms of implementation. It's like it's definitely a task force. We're trying to get stuff done.
All right.
And I wanted to thank James McFadden for that. One of the better ideas I've heard yet about how to monetize the archive, and I'm going to try to follow up on that. So thank you.
All right. Fred, are you part of this whole process? Fred Blair. Well, anyway.
Hello, I'm still here.
What are your thoughts, Fred?
Well, I haven't been listening that closely. I'm not a fundraising person. Sorry.
All right, but what are your thoughts about the near term, midterm, and long term for Pacifica?
Well,
I'm mostly
focused on the short term at this point because of the desperate crisis we're in. And,
right, correct.
I'm not prepared to say much at this point.
All right, we'll think about it down the road. We'll certainly want to hear your opinion. Jim,
I just wanted to let you know, Chris Corey is on the call.
Oh, Chris. Hold on a second, Chris. Jim Sagerton. Jim Sagerton, your comments. Are you there, Jim? All right, Jim's gone. What we're talking about, Chris, we're sort of trying to wind up. We were listening to the ideas that both Alex and Lyndon were talking about.
Jim, just so you know, I'm not gone. I was just finding my way back to my screen. I don't have anything to add, and, you know, the meeting flows. I mean, it's going okay, but you don't have to put people on the spot to ask them what they think. If people have something to say, they can speak up.
I know, but that's my style in this situation, Jim. I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody expresses themselves. And yes, I guess I'm used to doing that in other contexts. Who else is on? Yeah,
I've been listening for the last 30 minutes, by the way, so I've kind of heard the progression of this conversation.
Is this Chris?
NFTs into, yes, this is Chris, sorry.
Okay, go on, Chris. Jump in, Chris. Go on, Chris.
Okay, I was just going to say that I don't know if you guys discussed the idea of floating a bond or not. Did that come up at all in the first hour?
It did.
Okay.
Not in detail. And if you want to get into that, please do.
I can do that. We contacted a firm, I believe it was based in Florida, if I remember correctly, and we were making some progress there, but we ran into a huge stumbling block really quickly, and that's that California's rules regarding the private placement memorandum is way more stringent than the federal standard. I was hoping to slip through the there's a certain aspect of the law that allows unlimited number of people to participate in the private placement offering, but unfortunately, California doesn't honor the federal statute. They have a tighter statute, which actually resembles the tighter statute in the private placement memorandum that I was trying to avoid, namely that only 35 unqualified individuals in California can participate in it. And I just felt that since two of our stations with the most members, are in California, that it kind of threw a wet towel over the whole thing. I'm not absolutely certain that that's true, but what I am absolutely certain of at this juncture is that we would have to fashion the private placement memoranda to focus exclusively on our high value donors in order to make it work. And it just felt like a much bigger lift to me than I previously had guessed that it would be. So just to review the overall arc of the thing, I was hoping that we could take advantage of the fact that we're an organization with 50,000 members to float a private placement memorandum, because that's $60 per person to clear our entire debt, and that's not a lot of money. And so, you know, I thought that if we could figure out a way to handle it that way, that we could get through it. But now that I know that California doesn't allow us to do that, it does change it quite a bit. So I haven't been in touch with that organization since January. They were promising to set up a meeting, but I just kind of felt crestfallen when I found out that California doesn't have the same looseness of standards that the rest of the country, or that I'll just put it as some other states. Better yet, the federal standard would allow. So I kind of felt like I didn't have a good way to approach it anymore. And so rather than just doggedly pursuing it, I kind of just dropped it and waited for this committee to reconvene so that we could discuss it and figure out what, if anything, to do. So that's kind of where it stands. It's been on hold for whatever this is now. This is May, so 3 months. It's been just sitting there dormant. But we have all the contacts. We could continue pushing forward. I was just deeply concerned that we wouldn't be able to fashion the offering in a broad enough way to actually retire the debt and turn it into a debt that was owned by our members instead of by a private party.
Any comments to what Chris has said?
Yeah, this is Lyndon. I just comment that it was an idea, and that was our job, was to flesh it out as much as we could. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, we gave it a good try, and it doesn't work. And so we move on to the next idea. But, you know, at least, you know, Chris went through all the hoops and found out as much as he could.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody else on this?
Yeah, it sounds like a really incredible option that you were exploring. Is it completely dead, in your opinion?
Well, it's not completely dead, but, you know, what it requires now is that all but 35 investors within the state of California be, I can't remember what the right terminology is. Maybe Lyndon does, but it's a different class of investor. They have to have a certain net worth, and it's qualified. I think that's what it is. I think that's the terminology they use. So anybody outside of the 35 would have to be a qualified investor. And I don't know. Maybe 90% of our members are qualified, but I kind of felt like, just based on what I know about community radio, that it's probably the opposite case, that probably 90% of our members are not qualified, and that therefore we're losing, you know, all but 5,000 of our members by going down this road. with the exception of 35 for the state of California, and I don't know how many for the other states. It just seemed to me to be there was one other thing about it too, and that's that I was hoping we could just use our membership list and we wouldn't have to do any more work than that. This would require us basically contacting each of our members to figure out what their qualification status is. It just seems a lot weedier to me and a lot more labor intensive, and ultimately probably unworkable, just based on the fact that half of our membership or over half of our membership is in the state. I don't feel like it's absolutely a dead end. It just feels like it might be, or it probably is, to be a little bit more cynical.
Question, what does qualified mean in terms of material wealth?
I think, it's a lot. If I remember correctly, it's like $1 million in assets or something. It's fairly high. So I don't know. I don't know how many of our members would fall into this category. I'll review that carefully before I just say, oh, screw it, and make sure that I understand what it means. I'll do this. I'll get back in touch with the Florida entity that we were working with briefly for this and just ask them that question. You know, it won't hurt to ask that question. What does qualified mean? They can answer it in 15 seconds if I can manage to reach the same people that I did before. They were actually quite helpful. We got down to this particular issue really quickly once we started getting into it. It was probably, I think, the second or third contact that I'd had with them where this thing happened. And like I say, nothing has happened since then, but I'd be more than happy to open it up again just to make sure that I understand what that means, rather than just assuming that I know what it means.
It's interesting, like in the past, I know at BAI, let me finish this, Beth, in the past at BAI, there used to be distinctions in terms of levels of income in terms of donors. There were some donors would give, like, for example, who's that great talk show? Donahue. Chris Donahue would give like $30,000 a year to WBAI in the 1990s. And so he would be in a, quote, different category. So the question would be, I guess, that I'd sort of be curious about, how many people you need who have that level of worth in the whole pool? Because I have a feeling you're probably right. They're probably not that many, but there probably are some. Go on, Beth. What do you can say?
Yeah, let me just ask this. Hold on, Beth, do you mind? I just have one more question to ask the body here. Okay, thank you. I wonder how possible it is. I would imagine it's very possible, but I'm wondering how possible it is to ask the individual stations how many major donors they have. In other words, I don't care who the major donors have, but, you know, is it 50? Is it 1,000? I really don't know how that number breaks down for the individual stations. And if I knew that, then I'd know how much of a problem we really had, because if we could actually target the major donors, it might work. That was the only thing. When I heard that, when I heard the 35 thing, it occurred to me that, you know, maybe if we had 35 large enough donors from each station, that might still work. But I just don't know how many major donors each individual station has. So does anybody know whether they can easily lay hands on that data? And if not, could I ask each individual station manager to provide that information? Is that something that I can reasonably do?
This is Beth. Yeah. May I address?
Go on, Beth.
Thank you. I followed the development of this idea all through last year, and we hosted Chris to come and address the Development Task Force too. And then I was on the call with Chris and James Sagerton when we spoke with this firm that does nothing but handle these accounts. And I would like to suggest, if you would be willing, Chris, I would like to meet with you and Stephanie, the new executive director, to discuss this, because she has a lot of experience
with like decades of experience in development. I'm going to guess you will have had at least some experience or familiarity with this before, and that she's in a, probably in a better position to assess our database of donors than any of the rest of us right now. And I think
that makes
it's a
sense
long
to me.
Shot, but I don't want to give up on it without trying. Would you be willing to be with? I can set that up if you want.
Sure. No, that'd be great. I would love that.
Thank you. And then we'll report back here.
All right, great. That's a great. It's a great option to explore and fully flush out one way or the other. Any other comments on what Chris is talking about?
Yeah, Chair.
Go on, Jim.
James, I just wanted to suggest to Chris that any station that's using Allegiance should be able to easily print out a report for you on major donors, and whatever software other stations may be using, they may be able to do it as well.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments for tonight on things that people feel that should be near-term, mid-term, and short-term goals and aims to implement? Is Michael Novick on the call still? Is he gone? I'm not sure if Michael's on the call. Anybody else have anything they want to comment on before I don't even know what the agenda is. Are we close to when should we have our next meeting? Anybody have any burnings?
If I may, this is Beth. I would like
to suggest
that we meet on the second Monday of every month at this same hour.
Oh, every month. Okay. That's all. Is there any disagreement with that?
Chair, I'd just like to ask one question if I could.
Go on, Chris.
Is participation in this committee open because it was restricted in the last session? How was that determined in the latest formulation of the PNB, or was it not determined?
This is Beth on that. It was stipulated that the committee consisted of those current PNB members who were elected to this committee, along with specific staff members, the secretary, the BD, and CFO, and that the members from the previous year who were willing could take part as advisors, that you and Lyndon and Alex wouldn't be voting members, but that you would be included as advisors given the nature of your past involvement and our interest in continuity, but that the committee not
okay.
be open to the general public.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Go on, Jim.
I just wanted to say that the other member is the chair of the Finance Committee. Here I am.
Right. That's right. And the officers, I forgot to mention, Julie and myself.
Thank you.
I forgot that.
All right. So,
Jim, this is Heather.
Go on, Heather.
No, I just wanted to say I am going to start working on this project about getting people to write about community radio. I've talked with Julie Hewitt about it. I've talked with a few folks about this, and so people seem interested. So I'm going to start the process. I just want you to know.
No, I think it's a wonderful idea. I personally would love to incorporate it with some of the things that Ken Aaron and I are doing, this noisy reality thing we're doing. I think doing a five-part YouTube live stream, Zoom kind of thing on the history and development of community radio and alternative media in the United States is great. I love it.
Wonderful.
I love it. I will personally try to look, and anybody else who thinks that they have connections, I know I don't want to put Mr. McFadden on the spot, but he is a faculty member at Berkeley. I would just like to be able to get, I'll contact people who teach this in business schools in the Northeast and see if I can get their, the help, advice, et cetera. Again, the literature is there. I've read the literature. It's not a big deal. It's and I personally agree that all the things that Chris and Lyndon and Alex were talking about, that they should be followed through. We can talk about them. You know, the question of staffing, of course, that Jim McFadden brought up is right on the button. Like, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to be issuing dicta? Are we going to actually be working to implement these things? That's always the big dilemma in doing these kind of things. And we'll do it on second Monday of the month, blah, blah, blah. Or the first Monday of the month. Is that what you agreed on?
I suggested the second Monday of the month.
That
would be the 13th of June.
All right. And I would also suggest that it be done by Zoom instead of Maestro. I mean, Fred, if you have a Zoom account, I think cause that way we can show things to each other more visually and easily. Is there any objection to that?
I personally prefer Maestro, A, because it's available. This is the Pacifica account, and because of the lower carbon footprint, and because in Zoom meetings, a lot of the dialogue gets shunted into the chat, where it's not available for those of us who access the meeting by phone, and other things. It's the privacy issues that Zoom is a private, for-profit data predator.
That's just you. I mean, I tend to think that Zoom would be more efficient, but we don't have to all agree upon that today. I mean, I would prefer to use Zoom because at least one can show PowerPoints and show data visually back and forth with each other in a more efficient way. I personally would be in favor of Zoom, but you know, I'm not going to, you know, we can decide about that down the road. All right, so the second meeting on a Monday in June. Okay, very good. And there's no disagreement about that, right? Okay. Hearing none, I call the meeting adjourned. Any objections? Okay, good night,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, good
thank
night.
You. All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.